I'd like to go back to the beginnings, how God initially intended us to be. We go back to the garden. If y'all will look at Genesis, the third chapter, the 16th verse. There's a lot of teaching, you know, regarding this, because this deals with the fall of mankind. But I just want to look at one aspect of it. Genesis is called the seedbed of all truth, and everyone needs to know what Genesis says. They need to know it from cover to cover, because this initially God set everything in motion through this, and praise the Lord. He says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and then thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That seemed like a hard word, and that's, of course, it came about because of what Adam and Eve had done. They had, Eve, of course, was, you know, deceived by the serpent, which we know as Satan, and Adam just fell in there and just you know, walked into it. And we need to understand that this is, you know, we need to remember that this is where the first sin came in, that with the sin came the curse. It says the ground was cursed, the serpent himself was cursed, and there were, you know, various other curses that came along. But this had to be dealt with. And so let's look back at, you know, before this happened. That's where I should have started. Before, when Adam and Eve were, they lived in the garden and they functioned as one. There was one will there, and that was the will of God. And they walked in that. They walked in one with God. They had close fellowship with him. So we look at that, we see that this is where we were really supposed to be. And this is the where God wants to bring us back to, that fellowship with him. I know that, you know, everyone in here, you know, is, you'll understand this, but it's in order to, we just need to be reminded sometime that this is the epitome of what God wants. He wants our fellowship. He wants our love and adoration. And it's like he gives it to us. when this, once this took place, we have two wills that were in the earth then. Became the will of man and the will of God. And this is where we have to start working with, you know, this will that we have. You know, what are we going to do with this? How is it going to be handled? Let's look at Galatians 3:13. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We see the fix for what, you know, happened in the earth. We see God coming in the form of Jesus himself and taking this curse upon him. And I guess the important thing for us to realize that while he was walking here on the earth, that he was in subjection and submission to everyone. Number one, to God. The Father, at one time, he was one with the Father. And there was, you know, one will. But when he came to earth, he took on this earthly form, the same as we. And he had to deal with that. So he submitted himself to his parents and to God and to the basically the hierarchy there. And anyway, he came away triumphant and was able to, you know, to be that curse for us. If we go back and look at Adam, the problem that Adam had in the garden is the probably 90% of the marriage failures that we have here in this country, that what he was doing. He was operating in lethargy and apathy. He just let this thing, you know, he didn't even give it a second thought. He just fell in there with it. And that's what men are doing now. They're doing the same thing. I know that there's probably people there that can testify, but whenever a couple break up, there's generally a time of when they're, you know, really upset. Then there is a time when other people get involved in it, and then hate rises in the midst of it. And initially, there wasn't any hate at all, but and it all came from apathy, or, you know, just about all of it on the man's part. You know, I'm saying this, I'm, you know, just doing it from a man's perspective, you know, what I see going on out there. And we've heard several lady folks talk this morning, and during prayer, they pretty much covered everything I had to say. But I just feel like y'all need to hear it from me. In Galatians 3:13, says, God hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. You go down to verse 24, says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Whenever Jesus took that curse upon himself, it was the curse of sin and death. It wasn't the law itself. It wasn't a bad thing. The law was how we approach God. He had to make provision for the people until another provision could be found. So he instituted the law, and David talked about it, over and over again, how he loved the law, because he knew that it was his avenue to God. And he just over and over in his Psalms, he says, moreover have it been desired than gold and much fine gold, and sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And he said that moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward. And but anyway, the law, it says it's a schoolmaster. It's sitting out there, and it gives you a picture of where you are. Whenever the law gets thrown at you, generally it's not by God, although he instituted law, but the enemy uses the law against us. And we can just know that it's a time to see if there's, you know, something that they can lay hold upon, and we can deal with that in our lives. Praise the Lord. In verse 28, he goes on to say, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We don't have any bond servants here. We're all free people. And that's one of the scourges that has been on the church for years and is still out there. That that's just one of the prejudices. The one that I'm talking about is the one against the lady folks. But it's different races and what have you, them unwilling to come together as one. And in the end, that's one of the things that this body here has had a great victory in. Amen. That is a great victory. And that is one area where the blessing will not be, you know, restricted from us. We can freely flow in that. We can receive that blessing. But the one that I want to deal with this morning, and I want to deal with it with the men especially, is that how, you know, we are to receive our blessing, you know, from the way that we treat the lady folk. And but anyway, it says that there is neither male nor female. And there, in one of the Gospels of the Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection, they were trying to trip Jesus up, and they were talking about the each one having a wife and just going on and on and on and on and on. And he said, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures, you know, asking them a question like that, because they won't be anyone's wife in the resurrection, because they'll be like the angels. In other words, they're neither male nor female. And that's what we're reaching for. We're reaching for a place where all these distinctions, they'll just fall by the wayside. And as we get closer to the end, to that perfection that God wants us, you know, to move in. In 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about us looking through a glass darkly. But we can, if we can, or we see only in part, it, that which is before us, that coming to the fullness of the body, you know, operating as a corporate body. Pastor Maxine, she's related that, you know, so goes the family. That's the way the church is going. You know, if we, like said several times this morning already, if we don't get it right in our families, then, you know, what's going to happen in our church? We have to get these things in order. And like anything else, if the man is, he's being ordained to be the head of the household, then it's going to have to start with him. His apathy and lethargy simply will not get it. Things have to be addressed. The problem that I had was, you know, just simply responding. You know, I didn't know that, you know, whenever something was thrown out on the table, I need to either pick it up, throw in the trash, or do something with it. You know, I needed to respond in some way, and I still, you know, deal with things like this. And but it's I guess that's the reason it's so blaring to me. And I can, whenever I see it, and I see it going on and on and on and on, I know it's grievous to the heart of God, because it's tearing down families, it's doing terrible things, and it's preventing the church of the living God to come into the fullness of what they need, to come to the completion. And but anyway, in the garden before the fall, there wasn't a whole lot of submission, because there was simply one will. What were they going to submit to? When you get one will, you know, if there's no subjection and obedience, that's the, you know, the ultimate. That's where we're going. That's what the church is going to be, you know, in the end. And I look for it shortly. That we're going to have to reach out. We're going to have to pursue these things with all of our heart. We're going to, you know, let the men are going to have to allow God to start speaking to them. We're going to have to be able to hear the voice of God. And you know, I feel like if we stay in this body, that in the home there will be a baptism of fire that he is going to require of us. As long as we stay on these altars and profess and profess and profess, then God is going to require it. Just like anything else, we come out of our mouth, and we need our houses in order. In 1 Corinthians 12, the last verse, it says that he, you know, is going on to show us a more excellent way. Of course, we talked about that in the whole Sunday school class, which is the excellent way is love. Love is a bond of perfection. A bond is something that adheres one thing to another. That's what's going to keep us together. That love is that adhesive that's going to keep us together, that we're going to flow with one will in one direction. When I was in the Army, one of the things that we did, we would, for an hour or two every day, we just get out there and march. And it didn't take long just for marching to get to where, you know, it was precision. Everybody moved at the same time. They listened to the orders, and it was very plain, you know. That's how he expects his body to move. The body has a head. The head, I don't know if y'all have noticed it or not, but our pastor has gotten further and further, you know, back from pushing and doing this and that and the other. And she's allowing the body ministry to do, you know, just about everything that's, you know, that they can get away with, I guess. But that's just a wonderful thing, because that means that we're getting closer and closer to the end. And we found that in the Word of God, that in the Garden of Eden, there was one will, and that's what we're moving toward. And the way that you become one will is that you become the will of God. And it's when we become the will of God in this earth, then we'll see this corporate manifestation that we've been looking for. We'll see it, things exercise like this unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus. I just needed to address a couple of things that were spoken this morning. And Pastor Eileen, she had a way about her that she would disarm the enemy with her humility. And she, in other words, when the enemy would, you know, just be raving and blaring and what have you, that she would just disarm him. Well, she wouldn't, you know, react to anything like that, and that's what she taught us. And it's been a hard lesson for most of us, but that's the only way to handle that. It's the only way to handle it. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. I think we better drop back to 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're reaching out for. 90% of the body of Christ have thrown in the towel. They don't even attempt to move forward in the things of God. They don't attempt to do anything about the sin. In other words, they're just going along with this amount of the curse. They've got this curse that's all this baggage they're carrying with them. And they just, because of, you know, what they believe. What you believe determines your destiny. What you believe determines your destiny, your destination, you know, where you're going. And that's kind of plain, but that's... But anyway, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're, you know, moving into the corporate, and we know that this will bring about the end of time, the fullness of what we have ahead of us. And just in prayer down here, I can feel that, that the end is, is near, and the work that is going to be done is going to be a quick work. It said, a city can be built in a day. Well, a city can be saved in a day. And we all, this is a walk of faith, and if we don't believe that in our heart right now, we'll just confess it. Just confess it with the rest of us, and we'll walk in it. And we'll see it come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. different things were said during the prayer this morning regarding submitting to a husband and what have you. And it was stated that as the head, that Sister Babs, I believe, referred to it as the head as being the source, which is, very accurate. There is a leadership there that has to be, just like pastor, it has to be in place until we come to this place. I don't want to be ethereal about all that, but it we have to, just simply fall in there. God has raised up an army, and this is what's going to, bring everything about. But we're cautioned about, using the authority that we've been given as men in the household. Some of the things that I heard this morning, that it's a grievous thing. So, and of course, the Word of God teaches that if a man is going to function in that authority, he has to hear the voice of God. He has to hear that, voice to be able to be decisive when it's real hard to make a decision, for the couple to make a decision. He's just going to have to be at that place of where he can hear God. Praise the Lord. But in the same sense, as was said in Proverbs 31, we have a great treasure. Men, we have a great treasure in our wives. There's, all kinds of potential there. That it's unbelievable, the things that they can accomplish, even, when we're not even encouraging them. And then when we do encourage them, I don't know that I want my wife doing all of those things. I want her to spend time with me, but there's all the potential is there, and we have to see that it's all is utilized. The lady folks, they have a mind that deals with particulars. They can do a bank statement in half the time that we can. They can do a lot of things that they have to deal with. Their skills are different from our skills. Need to go outside and kick a dog out of the way so it won't bother anybody. But the lady folks, they can get on the phone and they'll call the law and deal with the thing. They're gifted, very gifted, and we just need to allow all that they have, all that you know, is available there to you know, to flow forth in our families, because we're shooting ourselves in the foot, and we have to, you know, to continually encourage them, you know, to come forth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just about every time that you have a woman that just, you know, she takes charge, you know, she starts operating the headship in the household, is because we got somebody, you know, they're laying there taking a nap or something. You know, they're not at the place they're supposed to be. They're not, the man isn't doing what he's supposed to do. And that won't get it. It simply won't get it. And we cannot, the thing about the Word of God, we can't use this subjection. We're moving away from that, you know, day by day. And in order for that, everything to be fulfilled, for our marriages to be complete and everything come about that, you know, God intended, we're going to have to have the full potential of the man and the wife. It's not going to, it can't be a one-man show anymore. We're going to just have to deal with it. Praise the Lord.